For the past decade, each day of the 55-day retail holiday season, Bonneville has stood in the window of Downey's department store within a taunting eyeshot of Hank's tree lot, and this Christmas is no different. His branches always hang heavy with hundreds, if not thousands, of bulbous, garish ornaments and sometimes toddlers. After all, he was born for display. That is, he was manufactured for display. Not a modest living room one, either. He stands at 30 feet tall, wide at the base and narrow at the top, but still altogether more narrow than any real Christmas tree. More modern, more sleek. He was modeled after a Scots pine and a Douglas fir, but built without nature's eye for ergonomics, a bastardized version of his rooted counterparts. A mocking reminder of the life he'd always yearned for but would never know. A real one. For the employees of Downey's, assembling and outfitting Bonneville for the season is a matter of little ceremony. It signifies the first of many late nights, appeasing eggnogged irrational customers and more screaming children than usual. This year, the decision makers at Downey's, the innovators that they are, decided to forego holly, mistletoe, and jingle bells for a more exotic take on Christmas. Very Merry Havana Nights, they call it. This means Bonneville is decked out like a 1950s resort-dwelling American tourist. He has giant plastic palm tree branches stuck in between his own PVC needles. His ornaments are predominantly ceramic Cuban cigars, which hang like indistinct turds. Pounds and pounds of life-sized heavy turds. Among the turds bloom crystal hibiscus flowers which fall and shatter from the slightest shoulder brush. He is also spotted with pineapple-sized lime wedges, covered in glitter, and sprouting fiber optics. These hang in tandem with strands of 16,000 lights, half of them shaped like maracas and drums. The lights are on a 20-minute cycle, set to play a percussion-based rendition of Jingle Bells 3 times per hour, unless a kid pushes the overly accessible Try Me button, which Bonneville counts happens on average 17 times per hour. Perhaps the most cumbersome decoration is the 80 pounds of coffee bean garland, which is for some reason heavier than if it were made of actual coffee beans. Instead, it feels to Bonneville like strings of ammo, and to top him off, like any prepared tourist, a white fiber-optic fedora. Despite how Bonneville feels about his appearance, pathetic, disgusting, a total sham, in some way racist, people still love him. Even with the inevitable insanity of the season, moms and dads stop with their children to look up at him, all the way to the top. They escape in every glittering ornament and light, dazzled. And the kids want to touch everything. Each ornament they see, no matter how bizarre, they beg their parents, "But Mom, look at this one!" Eventually, though, the spectacle wears off, and after the gift shopping, families go across the street to Hank's lot and buy one of his real trees, each one with its own personality and quirks. Even people can see and smell the tradition of them, the spunk, the liveliness. Those trees need water and produce sap and smell like all of winter, while Bonneville and his thousands of clones around the country can only offer a 15-year warranty. To Bonneville, being real means more than knowing what water feels like at the base of your stump. It means more than having a stump. It means you have a beginning and an end. You don't go out of style. You are cared for and grow branch by branch, uniquely you. You are chopped, trimmed, and tailored for the season, displayed in festively lit tents, stood up, shaken out, and brought home. Families hang generations of memories from your branches with much to-do and hoo-ha, and finally, the pièce de résistance, they top you off with a glorious star. Inevitably, your end nears as your branches get dry and brittle, and your needles fall. Though, this is not a fate that scares Bonneville. In fact, he longs for a knowing end. Real trees wait on curbs with pride to meet January from the bed of a truck. Then they're turned into mulch and helped to grow something totally new. But instead, with each New Year's Eve, Bonneville is dismantled, packaged up in several boxes and left in the dark, useful to no one, bouncing visions of sugar plums off the walls of cardboard boxes. Knowing he'd fulfilled his life's goal in one season rather than living in uncertainty, that's an assurance that plastic like Bonneville can only fantasize about. After all, immortality is no place for seasonal merchandise. The only living decoration at Downey's is Santa, the one spectacle more spectacular than Bonneville. Theirs is the only Santa in town, and Bonneville is just a pit stop on the way to the big guy. But this year, in coordination with the Cuban theme, they've changed his name to Santiago. Santiago's hat is a red version of Bonneville's, and he wears what looks like Hawaiian-patterned footy pajamas and sunglasses. No matter. The kids still squeal with joy waiting in line to sit on his lap, then squeal with fear when they finally do. And come Christmas Eve, they'll go home to their living rooms filled with the scent of pine and hope that Santiago will make all of their dreams come true on Christmas morning. This Christmas Eve, though, Santa, Santiago as it were, is a bit under the weather on account of too much rum from weeks of what he's deemed method acting. At the top of every hour, under the guise of euphemistic signage, gone to feed the reindeer beer right back, he finds himself beer deep in the employee bathroom stalls for 15 minutes while the kids grow anxious and find entertainment in Bonneville. Giddy with that holiday naivete, and full to the brim with sugar and hope, Bonneville looks like a playground in Santiago's absence. Kids are yanking, grabbing, and pushing around him until one kid, too old for Santa's lap, starts an endless race around Bonneville. As more and more children join in, there's much ripping, shoving, and grabbing onto him until the biggest kid yanks a little too hard. And with all the coffee bean garland and the turd cigars and the lights, Bonneville can't stop. He just collapses under the weight of all of it, with a very loud ka-thunk followed by the sound of hundreds, if not thousands, of shatters. No people are hurt in the incident, but Bonneville is crushed. In the fall, one part of his four-legged base snapped and thousands of dollars of merchandise was destroyed. 10 years of duty, and in 10 seconds, he goes from an institution to a liability. With the season over in a few hours, the Downey's crew unwinds his lights, unhooks his ornaments, and untangles his garland. It takes 6 men to carry him in one piece through the warehouse and out to the back, where he'll stay until they finish dismantling him when they open again on the 26th. Christmas Day comes and goes, leaving Bonneville alone in the alley, and despite sitting among the stench of lingering holiday dumpsters, he gleams in the outside air. Brisk and gusty as it is, the wind lifts each of his plastic needles. At this juncture, he knows there are only a few more potential stages left in his journey, and as an injured plastic tree, none of them are ceremonious or especially sentimental. Still, he finds solace in finally having certainty, a foreseeable end. He'd done the best job he could have done in plastic, and he was coming to peace with the idea of being discarded as a Cuban castaway. But what approaches him next is not one of the scenarios he had imagined, or even had the capacity to daydream about. 3 men run toward Bonneville. Fast. They grab him with gloved hands and in sync they heave him onto the bed of a big green truck. For a second he feels like he's flying until he lands soft atop a pile of what feels like, could it be? Trees. Real trees. The end of season runts from Hanks. But to him, they're perfect in every imperfection. Against his plastic needles, the real ones feel strong, and the smell is better than he'd imagined. It triggers memories he'd invented of those early sprouting years, growing from a seedling into a blooming evergreen, coming into his own unique scent. As they continue around town, the men toss more trees on top of Bonneville. Their sap drips down, and he pretends it's his own. He's piled amidst living trees that have known sun, snow, and rain, and he was mistaken for one of them. He spends the rest of the day riding through town on a parade, as one of the real trees. Finally.